Tocqueville saw that the life of constant action and decision, which was entailed by the democratic and businesslike character of American life, put a premium upon rough-and-ready habits of mind, quick decision, and the prompt seizure of opportunities, and that all this activity was not propitious for deliberation, elaboration, or precision in thought. Richard Hofstadter in Anti-Intellectualism in America. Just after 7:30 a.m. on December 11, 2008, the year of the great stock market crash, Dr. Janice Dorn's phone rang. The markets had opened on the East Coast to another session of carnage. Housing prices were plummeting, credit markets were frozen, and GM teetered on the brink of bankruptcy. Dorn took the call from her bedroom, as she often does, wearing a headset and perched atop her green duvet. The room was decorated sparely. The most colorful thing in it was Dorn herself, who, with her flowing red hair, ivory skin, and trim frame, looks like a mature version of Lady Godiva. Dorn has a PhD in neuroscience, with a specialty in brain anatomy. She's also an MD trained in psychiatry, an active trader in the gold futures market, and a financial psychiatrist who has counseled an estimated 600 traders. "Hi, Janice," said the caller that morning, a confident-sounding man named Alan. "Do you have time to talk?" Dr. Dorn did not have time. A day trader who prides herself on being in and out of trading positions every half hour, she was eager to start trading. But Dorn heard a desperate note in Alan's voice. She agreed to take the call. Alan was a 60-year-old Midwesterner who struck Dorn as a salt-of-the-earth type, hardworking and loyal. He had the jovial and assertive manner of an extrovert, and he maintained his good cheer despite the story of disaster he proceeded to tell. Alan and his wife had worked all their lives and managed to sock away $1 million for retirement. But 4 months earlier, he'd gotten the idea that, despite having no experience in the markets, he should buy $100,000 worth of GM stock based on reports that the U.S. government might bail out the auto industry. He was convinced it was a no-lose investment. After his trade went through, the media reported that the bailout might not happen after all. The market sold off GM, and the stock price fell. But Alan imagined the thrill of winning big. It felt so real he could taste it. He held firm. The stock fell again and kept dropping until finally Alan decided to sell at a big loss. There was worse to come. When the next news cycle suggested that the bailout would happen after all, Alan got excited all over again and invested another $100,000, buying more stock at the lower price. But the same thing happened. The bailout started looking uncertain. Alan reasoned. This word is in quotation marks because, according to Dorn, conscious reasoning had little to do with Alan's behavior. That the price couldn't go much lower. He held on, savoring the idea of how much fun he and his wife would have spending all the money he stood to make. Again, the stock went lower. When finally it hit $7 per share, Alan sold and bought yet again, in a flush of exhilaration when he heard that the bailout might happen after all. By the time GM's stock price fell to $2 a share, Alan had lost $700,000, or 70% of his family nest egg. He was devastated. He asked Dorn if she could help recoup his losses. She could not. "It's gone," she told him. "You are never going to make that money back." He asked what he'd done wrong. Dorn had many ideas about that. As an amateur, Alan shouldn't have been trading in the first place, and he'd risked far too much money. He should have limited his exposure to 5% of his net worth, or $50,000. But the biggest problem may have been beyond Alan's control. Dorn believed he was experiencing an excess of something psychologists call reward sensitivity. A reward-sensitive person is highly motivated to seek rewards, from a promotion to a lottery jackpot to an enjoyable evening out with friends.